B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate
it. Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
That's hour three of the program. We're brought to you by DraftKings, both here on 98.5 on the FM dial, terrestrial radio in Boston. We simulcast on television across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston, also presented by our friends at DraftKings. As promised, right back to your phones on everything we've been hitting on today. Brian in the truck on the baseball stuff. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. Well, first point, I think it's only a matter of time before we see a hog on the field when one of these guys drop their pants.
But, definitely.
Secondly, Maz, I disagree with your Scherzer take only because the third time was so egregious by Giardi. I don't think that's like the spirit of the rule. I do think this is good for baseball, but I think what Giardi did was so out of line. I just hope it doesn't, you know, ruin the rule.
Okay, your thoughts, Max?
Didn't bother me in the least bit. Again, pitchers have been getting away with murder out there for who knows how long. Go ahead.
And I will just say that Max Scherzer, and I don't know if you're not aware of this. I wasn't aware of it. But he's sort of at the center of the whole thing. He was one of the original guys that was hitting up this clubhouse guy in Anaheim for the super glue. And he's like, so the analogy is, if they crack down on steroids and you know, an opposing manager asked for Barry Bonds to be retested, no one would second guess that manager. That's what Girardi was doing in that game. Scherzer was front and center in the reporting and the lawsuit related to that clubhouse guy. And his spin rates went through the roof. They've declined since the crackdown. And like, he's one of the guys. It'd be like asking for a drug test of Mark McGwire. So like, that's the equivalent of what happened in that game.
Yeah, look, and if there was gamesmanship to it, so what?
Right.
So what? If Max Scherzer's innocent, laugh it off, you know, have the umpire run his fingers through your hair to make sure you don't have any goop in there, and get back on the mound and strike people out. By the way, again, look at the line of demarcation in Scherzer's career. In 2013, he went from a middle-of-the-rotation guy to all of a sudden a Cy Young Award winner. He finished in the top five of the Cy Young voting 7 years in a row.
Wow.
7 years in a row, and he won three of them. His strikeouts went up, his ERA went down, and I'm talking about significant differences at age 28. So you tell me, was that just maturation? Or is there something else going on there?
Joe and Melrose on the Celts, that second thing. Go ahead, Joe.
How are you guys doing? I'm doing. So my thing is calling about the Kyrie situation. So there's reports saying he might be possibly getting traded to New York and all that stuff. What do you guys think if Boston had him back?
Maz would take him.
No.
Would you take him, Murray?
No, God, no. I don't want to deal with that. No, I was happy to see him go. And yes, it would be good for the show to be able to talk about him. He's just such a pill. No, thanks.
Oh, I would do it in a minute. I would do it in a minute.
Right.
So again, Murray, let me frame it to you this way. What if getting Kyrie keeps you Tatum for 8 more years?
Jason Tatum loves himself some Kyrie Irving.
Nope. No, I'm not. I can't stand the guy. I hate him.
Well, then you don't want to win.
I mean, this is a
fantasy. They're not going to win anyway.
This is like, a fantasy conversation.
Yeah.
He would never come back. Okay, whether you would have him or not is a whole nother thing. He would never. I think he made his feelings on Boston clear. You know, never mind poor Lucky there at center court. It's just a fantasy conversation. I just said it to kind of troll you a little bit. Would you take him back? Boo, I hate you, Kyrie. Would you take him back if it meant Jason Tatum stayed?
I would take him back.
Kyrie Irving had a sprained ankle and didn't fight to play for game 7.
No kidding. Believe me, I thought he could have played at the end of that series, too. I don't think he's really that interested in playing. Believe you me.
He hates basketball.
Here's Rick in New Hampshire. Hi, Rick.
He and Fatso both.
Hey, guys. Go ahead, Rick. Good afternoon. How are you?
We're good, Rick. What do you got, bud?
Well, so, Maz, I just wanted your perspective on I appreciate what you said about Garrett Richards. I appreciate what you said about that the fact that in February and March that these guys were all notified that they needed to stop doing this crap. What do you think about what Jacob DeGrom is doing and the fact that he's becoming legendary in terms of where he is on ERA? I'll stop and listen.
Okay,
so look, again, and this was a perfect example. Cora actually addressed this the other day. DeGrom was the first guy checked. You know what he did when the umpires went to him?
A little half smile, gave up his stuff, went back to the dugout.
Yeah, kind of chuckled like, okay, this is how we're going to do it. Here you go, no problem. Laughed it off.
And then dealt.
Right. And most of the guys are dealing with it fine. And so even Scherzer, okay, like because everybody's focused on the Girardi part of it because that was the third time he'd been checked. When the umpires checked him, Scherzer didn't like it. He didn't exactly look like a happy camper out there. He didn't look like Jacob deGrom or anybody else. He looked put off by the whole thing. And so, again, a poster boy for the whole problem.
Yep.
Okay, he looked put off by the whole thing. You don't think that maybe part of the reason Girardi did it is because he saw that? And he said, this guy doesn't like this. He's pissed off. So you know what? He's dealing. I'm going to piss him off even more. Let's see if he can fight through it because this one will send him through the roof. If he had laughed it off and just kind of went with it, Girardi might not have done it. Who knows?
Andrew in Taunton on the Celts. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I just heard you guys talking earlier kind of about some potential Jaylen Brown trades, and I just kind of disagree. Like, I don't think Towns, Jamal Murray, or Beal even. I think it's more of a lateral move, and I just don't think that gets you closer to a championship. I think in order to win a championship, you're going to need, like, two guys. They got to be top five players. So I guess it's more of a question for Jay Stu with the salary cap and stuff, but is there a way we can trade for Lillard and then bring in Beal the following year in free agency? Because I think it's going to take three guys. So I don't know if you could trade like either Brown for Beal and then like flip like seven first-round picks for Lillard. I just think you need three guys to get there, and that's kind of like my question.
Okay, I don't know.
So hypothetically speaking, you put Marcus Smart and cap filler to get to Bradley Beal, and you offer Washington five picks of the next 7 years, and then you put Jaylen Brown in a deal for Damian Lillard.
Okay, so there you go. I don't know why the Bullets would ever do that.
Because they're not sure that Beal is going to stay there.
Okay, but your pick swaps suck because you are going to be picking. The years you're going to swap, you're never going to swap because the Celtics are going to be picking 27th or something, right?
Well, that's their problem.
Well, but like the
I know.
The pick swap, you know, when Danny pick swapped with the Brooklyn Nets, that made sense because you were going to get, you know, high first round picks year after year because the Nets were going to suck. You're going to be good. So they won't swap those years. They'll just keep their own pick because they're going to suck and you're going to be good, right? And so it's like those pick swaps are kind of useless.
Yeah, so the only thing is, though, if in theory, if they trade Beal, aren't they going to trade him somewhere where they're going to get a lot better and maybe make a run at it? You follow me? In other words, I know that the Ainge deal you're talking about.
No, I understand.
Brooklyn thought they were going to be good.
Right, and in the short term, they were for a year. But I don't know. If they send him here with Tatum, you know they're going to be good. I mean, can you? If I'm the Bullets and I have to trade him, and I want multiple high first round picks, I'm going to send him to a rebuilding team, and not a ready made team, which I still kind of think the Celtics are. You know, when I say ready made, I mean not a high draft pick team. So, like, I just don't think the Bullets do that. There's no way they do that.
I mean, unless it's a forced trade, like when Kawhi Leonard went to the Clippers. Paul George was forced to be traded to the Clippers, and the Clippers had to give up everything, and the Clippers were going to be good.
I mean, it's amazing how much power the players in that league have. They can call all the shots.
Hey,
and Beal's going to hit the market in a year, so the Wizards may have no choice.
I'm happy for the speculation. Believe me, 617-779-0985. If you land Bradley Beal for Marcus Smart and pick swaps, someone somewhere is smoking drugs.
Okay, sniffing glue.
Lennon, Vermont on the Sox. Hi, Len.
Yes. Can anybody there tell me why Danny Santana is still with the ball club? He's in DFA.
Okay, can someone tell me who Danny Santana is?
He's a leadoff hitter who can't hit.
Seriously, he blows. I mean, he has been awful. And the other day, he made a play in center field that I went, oh, my God, was that awful. He is batting 123. I was just looking it up. He's been horrid. He is...
He had that bloop single in that 10th inning they screwed up the other night, though. That's about it.
8 for 65 with 20 strikeouts.
Oh, well, you know, but bat him and Franchi, 1-2. But this is something Master Donato brought up. He says, instead of talking about things we should be talking about, we're talking about this nonsense with the ball doctoring. He said what we should be talking about is this. Wander Franco, that best prospect, that amazing prospect in Tampa, has been called up by the Rays. The Red Sox, meanwhile, are acting like a rebuilding small market team, afraid to call up their top prospect, Jaron Duran, who hit his sixth homer in 13 days and continues to rake in AAA, while the Sox big league team sends out leadoff hitters, I think he's referring to Santana, with on-base percentages in the 200s. So should they be bringing up Duran?
Yes, I would lean towards it. Yes,
Duran.
Yeah, and look, I'm not kicking up dirt over this one because I think Duran is a little bit of a paper tiger based on the numbers. The ball is jumping out of the ballpark in Worcester. He's hitting .230 on the road.
Isn't Franchi hitting well in Worcester too?
He is. Yeah, he's hitting. He was hitting over .400 and dropped.
Wait. So there's like elevation in Worcester? What are they doing in Worcester?
Something about the way the wind blows in the ballpark that they built out at Polar Park.
Really?
Yeah, the winds of Worcester. It's apparently a thing.
No, I'm not kidding.
The winds of Worcester.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, it's like in the jet stream. Seriously.
No, so no kidding.
Yeah, the Hurricane Woo sucks. So apparently the ball is flying out of this place. Like, out of control.
Is it elevation?
I can't imagine it is.
Right?
It's got to be something.
Worcester.
Yeah, it's got to be something with it, unless it's a stench in the air.
It's floating on toxic fumes.
Yes. It's yeah. Doing. No, it's true. If you ever go by a landfill, you'll notice that everything carries. So I don't know what it is, but
it's just floating on the fleas. All right, keep going. I'm sorry.
But the numbers in Worcester, I guess, are off the charts. They're off the charts. So he's ripping it up in Worcester. They go on the road. He hits .230. So look,
is this same with Franchi? Is this why Franchi's hitting in Worcester?
You know what? I haven't checked the home road splits on him, so I should. He was hitting over .400 a week ago. Then he dropped to like .390. That one's a matter of time, I think, but we'll see what happens. That look, as it relates to Duran, I don't care if he is hitting .230. Your guys are hitting .130. Take a shot at the .230.
Are they not bringing him up because of the service time and what's that arbitration?
Super 2.
The Super 2 thing.
And so I think we're now past that, which is why Tampa brought Franco up.
Yeah, the small market teams have to worry about the Super 2 thing.
Correct.
And were the Sox were they doing the Super 2 thing with a hot prospect because they wanted to save a year of service time?
I mean, look, it crossed my mind. But I also think we're at a stage now where it shouldn't matter because we're almost halfway through the year.
So why are they bringing him up?
Good question. And the way Cora answered the question the other night, and this is all I have to go on at the moment, he said there's still some stuff he needs to work on down there. So I don't know what it is. In spring training, I watched a kid play the outfield, and I thought he was a complete freaking butcher. I thought he was cutting meat out there. It was just absolutely awful. So apparently he's gotten better. We'll see. I would also say, though, can we give it a shot and see what it looks like? Like, can we do that? Because what they have at the top of the order is laughable.
Meanwhile, if you build a ballpark in the middle of a toxic dump, the ball will carry. I think we're learning that. That's a great story. Someone's got to figure that out.
Yeah, the smell of garbage is light air.
All right, we've got to more of your thoughts. A couple of takes on last night's basketball game and hockey game coming up this hour. And your calls. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble. I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
116-113, Hawks win, and they come into another full capacity building and beat the team that's higher seated. They've done it three straight series in a row.
All right, how about a quick Bucks-Hawks thought for me? You watched the game last night. What do you think?
Go ahead, Murray. I saw very little of this game. In full disclosure, I've been on the Red Sox, and I then clicked over to the hockey more than I did the basketball. So, Murray, go.
I mean, it was Trae Young's night. I'm not, like, super into point guards, and I know the conversation will likely go into this, and it was on Twitter, too. Like, who would you take, Trae Young or Jason Tatum? Who's a bigger building block? I would still take Tatum over Trae Young. I just have, like, a bias against guards, but he was nasty. He literally took over the end of that game. 4 minutes left, 105-98, 9 points, 2 assists in that stretch. Like, he took over the game. I don't know if they could replicate this the rest of the series. Like, your team, Mike, like Chris Middleton, I don't know if he's ever played that bad. He sucked, and they still barely lost. There wasn't a lot of adjustments there. Considering the size on that Bucks team, I don't understand how Trae Young gets 48 points during the end of that stretch. How many rebounds did the Hawks get? Like, you had to be pulling out your hair. So that's got to be tough to watch for a Bucks fan like you. So I don't know. Like, there was a good game by Trae Young. I just still think the Bucks are the better team. It was a bad night for them. Not a lot of adjustments. A bad night for their coach, Mike Budenholzer.
I mean, this kid's apparently a handful, right? I mean, he's
Trae Young.
Yeah, he's a bit of a diva.
Steph Curry-esque, though, that performance last night.
But if you took his balls and put him on Tatum,
I was going to say, doesn't he kind of have a set?
You'd put.
Oh yeah,
he'd be the best player in the league if you did that. If you combine the two of them. This kid's nuts are unbelievable. You know, he goes into New York and shuts that crowd up. He plays his ass off in the last series. Now in this one here, he comes out of the gate and drops 48. He's fearless. He'll shoot from anywhere.
Do you worry about Atlanta as an impediment to the Celtics? You think they're legit?
I mean, I keep saying I can't. I feel about Atlanta because they're Atlanta like I feel about the Canadians. Like, I look at it and go, this team's overachieving. They're not this good.
I mean, that's exact. I feel they have one player. I mean, like, really, I don't get the John Collins.
I mean, they were
love.
Desperately trying to trade him away at the trade deadline.
I mean,
Collins,
a nice player, but not like any sort of.
He's a role player.
He's not a 1-2 or a 3. Like, I don't see that. Capella is, you know, functional. He had a million rebounds, but.
And plays hard.
And, you know, yeah, but again, role player.
Right.
And then, you know.
No, they have savvy vets on that team like Lou Williams, Gallinari. Like, they got some good players
like
that.
Yeah, and then a couple of Euros, right, that can get hot and shoot.
It's the kid.
Yeah, it's him. No, he's pretty nasty. But again, with guards, I think that there's ultimately a ceiling.
Yeah, he's fearless. He'll shoot from anywhere. He'll make it. And he'll win. He's really competitive. He's cocky as hell. Like, so there's a lot to like in the player. I honestly, I told you, I watched very little of it. I thought Milwaukee's going to win this game. Milwaukee's a better team. And I keep saying that with Atlanta, and now they keep winning.
Okay, the more you watch my Bucks, don't you, and all of you out there listening, I've been telling you this for 2-3 years, what a dumb, stupid, choking kind of team they are.
Like, oh, yeah. No, they.
I mean, do we get it? Like, have you seen it enough now?
Part of me enjoys it because, like, for what you believe in as a sports fan, like, they're the antithesis of it.
It's
like,
so painful. Like, there's no, I mean. Like,
they're dumb.
Oh, my God. They're so dumb and so unclutch. I still can't believe they won in Brooklyn. I mean, I still can't believe that happened. But, again, I think it was just because Durant's big-ass foot. It's all that. If he wore the proper shoe size, the Bucks are out and they should be out. Because they don't know how to play. They have no game. They don't know how to play.
I mean, down that final stretch, the Hawks got offensive rebound after offensive
rebound. So here's the stretch.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's the stretch. Giannis dunks, make it Bucks up 4 with 2:08 left. Hawks come down. Trae Young misses a 3. Hawks offensive rebound. Kick out. George Hill misses a 3. Hawks offensive rebound. Collins, 3-pointer, makes it. So the Bucks again, who have this size advantage like you read about. Like, Capella's the only guy in there that's matches up size. The Bucks are huge inside. With Lopez and Giannis out there, you know, whoever, and the rest of them. But so the Hawks grab 2 offensive rebounds. Collins, 3-pointer, makes it 1. Then there's a sequence. Holiday missed. The Hawks had a shot clock violation. And then Middleton, with 43 seconds left, takes this, what for him should have been a can of corn, open little 2-point jumper. And misses it. But he took it early in the shot clock. And there was 43 seconds left. So I'm thinking he's preserving a 2-for-1 there. Or, you know, he's making sure they have the last shot. Which is like, okay, you're thinking on the clock. Which gives me some hope that you're actually thinking the game here. And it's slowed down for you enough to know to take the shot that early in the shot clock. But there's 43 seconds left. So you're preserving a 2-for-1. I got it, I think. But he gagged. It was an easy jumper that he missed. Then Trae Young comes down, misses a floater. Capella offensive rebound put back. So the Bucks lost 3 straight offensive rebounds there when it mattered most to lose a 4-point lead. So now you've got the Bucks down 1 with 29 seconds left. And did you see the play they dialed up? Did you see who shot the ball?
Oh, who was it?
Pat Connaughton.
Yeah, Pat Connaughton. Yeah, local boy.
From 26 feet, like a couple feet behind the 3-point line. You know, when you've got, never mind Giannis inside, or Middleton, or Drew Holiday, Pat Connaughton.
And Holiday had a good night too, right?
Pat Connaughton.
Yeah, Drew Holiday was good. He was their second best player last night.
Gets the shot, and again, he shot way early in the shot clock. They got the ball with 29 seconds left. He shot with 23.5. Was he still trying to get the 2-for-1? Because you know all these guys, everyone's obsessed with the 2-for-1. Obsessed.
Yeah, to the point where they screw up possessions as
a
result of it.
You come down with, you take this horrific shot just so you can get the last shot?
Happens all the time.
Oh, my God, it's brutal. So I think they had this in their head, or that was what they... Pat Connaughton, you're down a point. You don't need a three. Pat Connaughton.
Yeah, I think I saw him at Kelly's once.
I actually kind of like him. He's a ballsy little player at times.
Okay, he's not the guy I have shooting from 26 feet with down a point with plenty of time left. Oh, such an awful possession. Young goes down, hits two free throws. Now the Bucks are down 3 points with 17.3 left. And they don't call timeout. Did you did that strike you as odd?
He did, yeah. I couldn't believe that. Like
Young makes his second free throw, and the Bucks just inbound it and play it out like it's the middle of the second quarter. Like, no. Don't you want to advance it to the half court, call timeout, set up your play? You now need a three-pointer. You need a three-pointer. There's 17 seconds left. You have timeouts. Nope. They just dribbled it up the floor and played like this regular possession where they ended up giving it to Giannis underneath the basket.
Yeah, that's good. I told you I didn't see this.
No. They're down three. There's now 5 seconds left because they've dribbled out the clock like they just didn't realize it was the last possession of the game. There's 5 seconds left. They dump it to Giannis underneath, and of course he gets fouled with 5 seconds left.
And he was actually pretty good at the line last night, too.
And shock of all shocker, he made them both, which put the Bucks down by one, another foul free throw scenario. So they still got the last shot at it, and Middleton missed a deep three. But just no awareness. No awareness, no coaching, no no thinking of the game. They are a stupid, choky basketball team. And if they win a title, it's a freaking miracle. And it's purely it. If the Bucks win a championship, it'll speak to basketball being a bad sport.
The ineptitude of the rest of the league.
Or just the sport is just purely about talent and roll out the balls because you don't have to be smart. You don't have to be tough. You don't have to be clutch. You just have to have a 7'1" freak from Greece who can dunk and run. And it's like, because the Bucks have no clue. They have no game. No clue how to play the game.
So I'll tell you, I think I mentioned this the other day. That even when they beat Brooklyn, I thought in the final minute of that game, they completely lost composure.
No idea how to play.
They completely lost. They can't close. They can't close. They don't keep their heads on. They don't keep their wits about them. They don't know how to close a game out. Really, it's stunning.
So, like, for you, I'd be more worried about the Hawks than I would about the Bucks. Yeah, you know, if you get your head screwed on straight, honestly, I think the team you have right now could beat the Bucks in a 7-game series. I do believe that. Atlanta, if they add a legit piece next to Young in Atlanta, I'd be more worried about that team. I'd be more worried about that team than I would about the Bucks.
I'm telling you, that kid's good. And he elevates people, too. He takes them to a different level because he's fearless. He is fearless. That kid is, again, walk into MSG, shut the whole place up, and he thrives on it at that age.
Yeah, so his first 8 road playoff games of his career, he has 5 30-plus point games and a 48-point game. Like, that speaks to something. He's got balls. He definitely has balls.
How'd you like the Bucks defense on him?
I mean, right. How do you, again, with the size on that team, Mike, how does he go? I know he's a good player. 48 points.
Mass. And late third, I mean, sure, you've seen the video. TNT did a great job. They TNT and Chuck and those guys spent like 30 minutes on this. But it was third quarter, 4 points, 6-point game, close ball game, Eastern Conference final. And the Bucks just let Trae Young alone so long at the 3-point line that he did a little dance before he shot. You've seen this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, he spots up to shoot a 3-pointer, expecting someone to come up. No one closed. They literally, 3 Bucks stood to the point where Trae Young then stopped and went and drained it, swished a 3-pointer, did a little dance. Eastern Conference final. So, I'm sorry. There's your Bucks minute. Not that you wanted it, but I frankly needed it. So, we'll go right back to your calls on whatever you want after Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
right, back to your calls here as promised. Patrick in the car. What do you got, Patrick?
I just wanted to ask you guys, first of all, I completely understand Jason Tatum's talent, right? The physical gifts, I get it. But the qualities that you just talked about with Trae Young, the mental toughness, the balls, the ability to make his teammates better, those are things that Jason Tatum has never shown in his career, and those are also things that are indispensable to any championship superstar in the NBA. And so my question, two questions. One, what makes you think that he'll develop those talents? And two, who would you trade Jason Tatum for if not Trae Young?
Okay, two excellent questions. I don't know on Jason Tatum. He may never get it.
I mean, there's been flashes. He was awesome in that one win that they had against the Nets in that series. And again, there's been regular season games too. And maybe, you know, with Trae Young, it's easier to buy because he's more demonstrative than Jason Tatum in those moments, you know, like shushing the crowd at MSG and things like that, like the little shimmy you talked about last night. Like, there's more cockiness to Trae Young's game.
So, I mean, I can see it, right? So,
yeah, it's apparent, right?
Which doesn't mean Tatum doesn't have it, but I don't think he has it. And body language does sort of tell the story. I always just say he's kind of gliding along. That's how I phrase it with him. So, and I don't know what leads me to believe he'll ever have it. He might not, but that doesn't mean you get rid of him. Like, you've got to wait and see. Yeah, because his talent is so through the roof, and he could be a top three player in the league. And if you've got that guy, but he's got a flaw or a character or an intangible defect, you just got to play it out and hope he grows out of it.
Yeah, I think you see flashes of it, and that's what Murray was saying. The question is, how do you get it out of him consistently?
Who would you trade him for, Luka?
Probably yes.
Yeah.
Would you trade him for Zion?
I say yes. Again, and that's assuming, I just think Zion is like, he's a unicorn. I mean, he's different. He makes other people better.
Trae Young. His size and weight, I think he's an injury waiting to happen. I don't know if I would trade him for Zion. I really don't.
Trae Young.
No.
No.
Anthony Davis at this point.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Not with the injury history. Nope.
So again, I mean, you know, when you start introducing variables like that, like how am I going to argue against injury history when the guy gets hurt all the time?
Kevin Durant right now.
Oh, yes. Tonight. He's the best player on the planet.
Yes.
And I just, we're playing around now. Like, this is not obviously never going to happen.
Yes, Durant. Yes.
Well, and it's like, this is really never going to happen because none of these guys want to come here. Never mind anything else, but I'm just, we're playing with it. So let's pull it out and play with it.
I mean, but there aren't many. When you get right down to it, though, there aren't many. I mean, you know, you're talking, what, a half dozen?
Give me one, Stu.
One more name at you?
Yeah.
Nikola Jokic?
Jokic.
He's the MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yes, 100% yes.
Yeah, probably. Again, makes other people better.
And Yusef Nurkic.
Not Nurkic. No, I'm a Noah Nurkic. I'm a Noah Nurkic.
Giannis.
No.
No. Too limited. Too limited of a player.
I'm no two, but
I'd trade him for Embiid.
No. I'd almost rather have Giannis than Embiid.
Oh, I love Embiid.
I'd almost rather have Giannis than Embiid.
Embiid's a force.
But he's soft. There's something wrong. There's something not quite right in the ticker there.
I don't think he was the problem on that team this year. I think he found it.
Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah.
He's gotten a little scary.
Right, yeah.
All right, back to your phone. Sri in Melrose. Hi, Sri.
Mike, for keeping me on hold for so long.
Sorry, my bad.
Lose and the Habs win. I hope that happens now. But anyways, my main point, I don't know what people's obsession is with Jason Tatum. Like, I know he had that 50-point game against the Nets, but like the Nets didn't even try. I think I would rather keep Jaylen Brown over Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown has improved his game every year, and he works at his game. Jason Tatum was offensively gifted, and I don't think he worked at his game. Thank you, guys.
Okay, Sri, thanks for hanging on. I appreciate it.
So ultimately, I guess the one thing that Tatum has that's the biggest concern of all is Duke disease. And I don't know if you can cure that. You know, it's the Dukey thing.
Where was Trae Young? Kentucky?
I don't
know. No.
Go ahead. Talk.
So look, I mean, Tatum over Brown to me is easy. I'm sorry. Brown had more room to grow.
Oklahoma.
That's why people have noticed him more with Brown, because he was so raw when he came out that it took him time to figure out how to play the game. Tatum was a much more polished product. But I think in the second half of the year, maybe the final third, I think Tatum got better than improved more than Brown did. Does that make sense? You know, Brown, the first half of the year, I thought, took leaps and bounds in terms of how much he improved. But at the end, it was Tatum.
Okay, so, again, no one's trading Tatum. They're not trading Tatum. It's fun to fiddle around with, but it's not a realistic conversation. Brown might be. Jaylen Brown might be, especially after Cedric Maxwell told us on TV last night, he's not sure Brown's going to be here. And that he said that was not coming for the Celtics. It's just his opinion, but that's what he thinks of it. And that's a pretty, I don't know, prominent opinion to me. So that's really the matter at hand. And when you give me a list of guys that you would trade for Jaylen Brown, it's much bigger than the one you would trade for Jason Tatum. Nick in the car. Go ahead, Nick.
Nicholas? Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going? I guess there's like reports. I don't know if it's true or not, but supposedly the Nets are willing to at least listen to offers for Kyrie Irving. If you're the Nets, why would you do that? And B, where would you guys send him if you guys, you know?
Can I answer Siberia?
Can I answer the first one?
Yeah, please.
Why would you do that? Because he's an a-hole. That's why. He's a colossal pain in the ass. He is.
Who would you rather have, Kyrie Irving or Harden?
Harden.
Harden.
Why?
Because he's not Kyrie.
Yeah, because he's not nearly. I think Harden's more reliable.
I mean, how scary is that? More reliable, more competitive. He gets it.
Yes.
I think you saw more professionalism, believe it or not, out of Harden on the Nets than Kyrie with the Nets.
Kyrie makes Harden look like Jordan in terms of the commitment.
The ultimate winner.
Yes. Yes, because Kyrie's such a putz. He can't even bring himself to show up when he's 100% healthy. At least Harden shows up. He weighs 300 pounds, but he shows up.
And he did try, you know, of the two, one of them tried to play through the injury, the other one didn't at the very end when the team needed him.
So, I'd take Harden. I'd take Harden over Kyrie. I never thought I would admit that, but I would.
So should the Nets trade Kyrie? Are they redundant with Harden and Kyrie? They don't need them both, do they?
They're not redundant.
Aren't they better served with a little bit more size?
Yeah, but if Kyrie just plays off the ball and shoots, it works. It works. They don't need to make a change there. It's not like anything's wrong with the on-floor, you know, on-court product. So, well, but the problem is Kyrie's attitude.
So, but it all comes down to whether Durant wants him or not. It's why Durant went there in the first place.
It's why also why they got Harden, because they insulated themselves against Kyrie.
Well, so but if Durant says I'm done with Kyrie, then
he's gone.
The Nets will be done with Kyrie.
Yeah, then he's gone.
It all depends on what Durant wants.
Oh, that would go right up Kyrie's backside, wouldn't it? After the whole go play for my home team, which again he stole from LeBron. The whole idea was to be LeBron. I'm going to go back and play for my home team. So he goes back. Durant goes with him. Then Kyrie goes AWOL. They bring in his replacement in Harden. Then Durant says, get rid of the bum. That is a good story.
You know who'd take him?
Celtics?
This guy.
The Bucks?
I'll give you Middleton. I'll give you whatever you want, frankly.
Middleton would be good on Brooklyn.
I like Jrue Holiday, but if you really wanted him, you know, I'd do it.
Oh, and then he'll poison the mind of Giannis.
Oh, but he hated in Milwaukee.
How do you think? I was just going to say, how do you think Kyrie would like?
Oh,
Milwaukee?
My God, it would be an absolute disaster. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Letty wrists it in around the wall in the Tampa end. Far side to near. Lightning reverse it near side to far, but give it away. Bailey couldn't hold his own. Turnover in tight. Kicks it.
All right, Maz, you said watch more of the hockey than the basketball. Give me a hockey take.
I mean, this Islanders team, I don't know how you don't love them. I don't know how you don't love them. And again, I know they beat the Bruins. I got an argument with my 14-year-old about this. He's like, I can't root for them because they beat the Bruins. I said, that's the wrong reason.
It's the exact reason you should root for
right.
them.
Right. I said, that's the wrong reason.
You want to come to Montreal with me? On the board.
Yeah. No thanks, Murray. So I thought about this because I, you know, last night they were down 2-0, and I thought they gave up the final 2 goals of game 4. They gave up all 8 goals in game 5. And the first 2 goals last night, Tampa had scored 12 straight goals in the series. 12. I don't know that I've ever seen that. Okay, 12 in a row. So the point being is that the Islanders are down 3-2 in the series. They just got smoked 8-0. Then they fall behind 2-0 in a game that could end their season. And they rallied and came back and win. And the huge break they got is that apparently Jeremy Lauzon was playing for Tampa Bay and turned the puck over at the end on that Beauvillier goal.
I think it was Blake Coleman.
Oh, my God. What a horrible play. It was the kind of crap the Bruins were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the exact same exact kind of crap. He passed it right in front. Beauvillier took it and shot it and picked a corner. That was it. It was over. Just like that. It happened so fast. But they're relentless. So now, can they beat Tampa in Game 7? I don't know. I mean, if you're asking me who I'm betting, I'd bet Tampa.
Well, now Tampa's without Kucherov and for the rest of the playoffs. And that whole game last night reminded me of how they played against the Bruins. They just bodied them. There were a ton of heavy hits on Tampa. And the one on Kucherov, I don't know how that's not a penalty. But they let him play, and I thought that was a ballsy win for them.
Oh, they're a likable team. They really are. They're a likable team. And you know who's playing absolutely out of this world? Barzal.
Yep, sure is.
He is setting it. And not just, you know, it's not all about the production either. It's the threat. He is dangling in the zone. You know, every time the puck's on his stick now, you feel like something good's going to happen if you're an Islanders fan. He's like going to another level right before everybody's eyes.
But I think it's apparent they have the balls and the resiliency that you don't. And it's in a nutshell. The last year, okay, year before, you got Tampa in the playoffs. You had a game like the Islanders did here in Game 5. The Islanders lost 8-0. You had that game against the Lightning that was, I don't remember the final score, but it was like that. It was one of those games. Remember Vladar?
Oh, right, yeah.
Swimming around out there. And it was over. The Lightning beat you like that, and it was kaput. No resistance, no answer, nothing. The Islanders lose a game like that, come back and gut out a 3-2 win in overtime to force Game 7.
Right, and fall behind 2-0 in last night's game.
After going down 2-0. So they've got the it thing that you don't.
Oh, my gosh, it's such an easy team to root for. They really are. They play their asses off. They're just relentless.
Not as easy as your Blue Blanc and Rouge, though.
So tonight's a big one, Murray. Tonight's a big one. But I'm almost resigned to it. I'm almost resigned to it. This middling Montreal team is just, they're playing the right way and shutting people down. And
with Kucherov out now, too, because I think Tampa probably wins Game 7. Like, it really is all setting up for them.
It's just so pathetic, Murray. It's shameful what you're doing, really.
I enjoy watching them play. I can
deplorable.
remove myself.
What is so enjoyable about how Montreal plays?
Again, it's a ballsy goaltender that's taken a middling team that has no business even being in there in the first place way to the Stanley Cup final. It's a good story. I don't have the Montreal hate like
do. Fine. It's a story. I got it. Montreal packs it in and lets their goaltender makes 30 saves. I mean, it's all about watching the goaltender with the stray breakaway.
Yeah, you'll get the stray breakaway from Caulfield or Suzuki or one of those type of players. Anderson, I like them. I like watching them play. They're fun.
No.
And they make you mad, too, which is good.
Okay, no, that's it. Dad, now we're fine.
That's not all of it. Again, that's like a Felger's 5%. It's a 5% part of it. It really is. Right. I like the story.
You like the story. You're rooting for the underdog. Fine. Montreal does not play an entertaining brand of hockey. They don't. They're not highly skilled. They don't play an offensive brand. In fact, it's just the opposite. They just chip it off the glass and reset and pack it back in around Carey Price. And they do that for 60 minutes. They wait for you to make 2 mistakes. They capitalize on one of them, and that's it.
I've got off the couch with some of those Price saves.
Oh, my God. But it's just like them.
Murray, what has happened to you?
It's deplorable.
No, seriously. You can't. If you're from Boston, you can't root for Montreal. I'll get the hell out of here.
You watch them play. You do acknowledge.
My allegiance is to me and mine.
You acknowledge, please.
One big bag.
Listen, that they flop more and more dramatically than the average team. Like, I mean, you can tell.
Yeah, that's the calling card of the Montreal Canadiens, of course.
There's a difference with
their fan base is mostly deplorable.
Oh,
yes.
What a bunch of deplorable a-holes they got up there. You've got to admit it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And just so you admit that the diving thing is different with them. I mean,
No, I'm not going to fight you on that. This is a one-off. I'm not going to be rooting for Montreal next year. For the remaining teams, I'm pulling for the Canadiens.
I mean, we know it. We say it. We rag on them for it. But when you actually sit down and watch their games, there is something different about the way they go down.
There's a sleaziness to it.
And how they draw it and the outrage that comes on their side when they don't get the call. It's different. It's just different than your average embellishing. It makes a deeper mark. But I don't know what this says about hockey. It's like Tampa, which is just this, they are loaded. They're
a wagon.
Talented, from top to bottom, fast, big, talented, play an entertaining brand of hockey. Vegas, I don't think they got the roster that Tampa does, but it's similar. Vegas, big, fast, skilled, got guys who can put the puck in the net. And they're going to lose to two grinded out, neutral zone teams that rely on their goaltending and chip it off the glass. Oh, feh. I don't know what that says about the sport. And, oh, by the way, the Islanders have more talent than Montreal, too. The Islanders, Montreal doesn't have a Barzal. They got some good young players. Caulfield's a rookie. He's a kid. And Gallagher I like, and they got some guys that I like, but they don't have anyone with that kind of talent. They don't. Tampa's got, like, three guys like that. And Vegas has a couple guys
God,
like
Tampa's
that.
Tampa's loaded.
And you're going to lose to a couple of grinders. Couple of grinders at goaltend. I don't know. What does that say?
Oh, it's not good. I would say if what was happening with the Canadians were happening with any other team in the league, I could get behind Murray. Like, I'd say, I get it. It's a great story. You get a team kind of coming out of nowhere. But the fact that it's them, and honestly, I'm not even – I just
– Yeah, I remember 79 and too many men.
Honestly, Murray –
nothing to do with that.
I just find them to be dreadfully boring.
Okay, right. They play a boring brand of hockey. They do. But Murray – you're one, and I'm not even going to say it's your, because it doesn't matter if there was a Bruin. There was a player on the Canadiens that got checked too hard a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
And the fans responded by calling the police.
Yeah, no, the fans are a bunch of a-holes.
Crown.
And their parliament.
And it's funny, I still hate that player. I hate Max Pacioretty on Vegas now.
Called for special sessions of their Congress
to
look at violence in hockey because one of their players got checked too hard. That happened.
I have a short memory.
How can you root for those people?
Long time ago. It's like 10 years ago. A lot has happened since.
Really has no moral compass, does he?
No, seriously.
I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll tell you that right now.
No, one big bag.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Oh, yeah. No. He just gives him the middle finger to the world.
Yeah, here's who I root for. Me.
I'd rather you not recycle than root for the Canadians. Like, as deplorable as the one big bag thing is, I mean, it's so easy. Just have two trash cans and put the can in the other one. It's really, that's the one big bag thing is, Murray, atrocious.
Yeah, I'm really starting to question what it is you're putting in there.
But between the two, I'll let you put the aluminum can in the one big bag if you'll just, with this thing, this is gross. This is just wrong. It's wrong.
Ole, ole.
All right. Final. I just appreciate it because we got one of the great segments in the history of the show back in 2011.
You did not have this show December 27th when Max Pacioretty boarded.
I'm having
Mark
it now.
Eaton, because it's a Bruin and you're a Yahoo.
I'm a Yahoo. You know what? That's why you're doing it. Cut him off because we can't reason with people. We can't have an intelligent conversation about this.
Because you got a name calling.
Because it goes to name calling. Well, that's too bad because there's an awful lot at stake here.
Can you guys still
hear
us? The
game we love.
They hung up on Maz, Murray. And you're going to root for him now? Seriously. Where's your loyalty?
Can you guys still
hear
us? The
game we love.
No, and now let's go back to Doug and Bob McKenzie. You get a name call, eh?
Go.
Boarded I'm having
Mark
it now.
Eaton because it's a Bruin and you're a Yahoo. The fans are Yahoo.
You know what?
That's why you're doing it.
Cut him off because...
Oh, I like that. You got a name call, eh?
Hey. It's like right out of central casting. No. They were shutting down the government because Zdeno Chara checked him too hard. And they were calling special sessions of their Congress and calling for special sessions to get out violence in hockey. And the fans were literally not, they said, don't make this up. This wasn't, if you're too young to remember, this was 10 years ago. The fans literally flooded their line, the 911 line in Montreal.
They were calling the Crown.
Looking for Zdeno Chara to be arrested. They called the cops.
Mm-hmm.
And you're rooting for them now.
Yeah, sure am.
Bleu, blanc.
You disgust me. Yeah. Seriously.
Can you guys still hear us?
The game we love.
Final segment of your wonderful phone calls ahead. It's all on the board now. Right to you after Murray's 90-second update right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.